is Leland Statham from News Channel 5, and you've got to keep pen and paper ready for nonstop information for the country and community on what's the 411 with the award-winning Sharon Kay.
And you know, he was doing the news this morning, filling in for somebody, so that's real. That's totally real, because normally he's not the weekend, you know. Anyway, I guess after all these years, he doesn't need to be.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, he's the man. Anyway, let me say hello to Nashville, all of our beautiful people out there, you know, in the global family. Y'all looking good, too, see. X Leland is going to be with us.
Radiothon.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
And Miss Vicky, my news diva. And our friend Scott Couch will be back in. All of our friends that support us every year. This is, you know, they love coming over here and hanging with the radio people. Because they can cut loose here, whereas they have to be serious when they're behind the camera. Because they ain't going to crack no jokes over there. Anyway, it is just a rainy night in Tennessee. No such song as that.
Nope.
That would be rainy night in Georgia. They probably had some too. But we have had a couple days of steady rain. And it looks like it's going to be a rainy week in Tennessee, for sure, in this particular region. 90% chance all day, so churchgoers, you know, hats and umbrellas, or plastic bags or whatever you have to cover up with, you know, just keep that in mind for today, because it was it raining when you got in?
It was.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's been raining.
It was.
This,
off and on.
Yeah, all night and all day in this early morning. Wide awake and kicking on this Sunday, rainy Sunday morning in the city. And do drive carefully, you know, that hydroplaning thing can happen to people. Doesn't matter who you are and what kind of vehicle you have. You know, I was on the interstate and I saw kind of close by me a tow truck hydroplane.
Oh, wow, that's serious.
I know. I was like, ooh, thank God.
Things,
there was a couple of feet between me and you, because either that or he, you know, wasn't paying attention.
Them tires checked.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, a tow truck? Oh, no. So if it could happen to a tow truck, it can happen to you. Don't they usually have, are they six-wheel vehicles or four? I guess it depends on the size of them.
Yeah. But normally they've got those double wide.
That's what I was thinking.
For traction and for weight and for,
Yes. So, do drive careful. Slow down a little bit, y'all. You know, when I was talking to Chuck this week, Commander Chuck, on the Wednesday Take You Home traffic report, I was, you know, talking about the latest craze of driving with no lights on that people are doing,
that,
you know. And I still, every time I'm in the car, I'm always watching for those people. Because, you know, he mentioned the interstate, and I hadn't even thought about it.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about just the regular streets.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't even imagine going down a dark interstate. And you'd have to be either some kind of drunk, some kind of high, or some kind of stupid. I mean, literally. Because there's pockets where it's very dark on the interstate. So, I mean, if you can't see, it just, it's like, so is this a drinking, is this a drinking?
I think some people.
As you know, drinking is promoted in Tennessee. This is the state you want to get drunk. You do it here.
Tennessee whiskey.
Yes, Lord. I mean, it's everywhere. And every club and every hangout. The, you know, getting your drankety drinks on here is a major business that keeps the state going. So, I mean, knowing that that's the case, maybe they might need some campaigns on more designated drivers, or, you know, take the drunk home, or campaign or something. Because these folks cannot, I repeat, cannot drive. And I know lots of people out there in the community who've lost loved ones. They know exactly what that is all about. So we'll have to see what the Mothers Against Drunk Driving and the other advocates out there do. But I do notice that in the downtown area and around the clubs, there's a lot of weaving and bobbing. And it's not for apples. So that's real. Anyway, we have some rain all week long, so I'd say get the umbrellas ready. And, you know, as I prepare the selection of what our thank you gifts are for our people for the Radiothon every year, I had, you know, the request. You had some. I had some for people that love our umbrella. Was it last year's umbrella?
Yes.
Those things went like hotcakes.
Yeah, fold-in.
Yeah, so after everybody that gave, then we sold whatever we had left, you know, of course, to recoup. And that was a hot commodity.
Yeah.
It really was. So we have orders for people.
It's the largest selling item.
It was.
Yeah. Because they fold in.
And it was just cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was wide, you know, for wide loads. Somebody gave me one that was not for women with booties. And she probably didn't know this.
Yeah.
You know, because when you have a rear end, you want it covered.
Mm-hmm.
And see, sisters know right now. They say, Sharon Kay, you know, I know you know. Girl, look. Okay. My point is that it was for a smaller, tiny woman, you know, that doesn't have any situations. Okay.
Yeah.
For lack of a better word. So I got tickled. I said, I love her, and I am so appreciative of this gift. But she needed to get the big booty edition. You know, because people don't think about that.
Yeah.
They just, you know. But I just cracked up. I'm like, oh, if I was skinny, yeah, this would work. But, you know, so when I order, I try to get the wide booty editions.
Yeah.
So to cover hips and thighs. Because nothing worse than walking with an umbrella and your back end is getting wet. So our popular umbrella, we're going to have it in our swag store this year. So it'll be back. Hopefully they'll arrive in time for the Radiothon weekend.
All right.
And we have some other new items that'll be in the swag store that I think people are going to like. They're different.
Okay.
Very, very different. Because swag store does, you know, pretty good.
It does.
Because everywhere we go, we sell swag, and people like, they want it.
Yeah.
Even people that don't live here, you know, they, you know, oh, I heard about you.
I want that, yeah.
Yeah. So they, and, you know, so having said that, swag store is back at the Radiothon. The Friday business is back. That's back. We're going to have our businesses come in on Friday. So you're going to find out about a lot of smaller businesses and new ones that, and some established that you've known about for a while, who are in support of us and what we're doing. And I'm calling it Small Business Shoutouts.
Okay.
And they will come and talk with us a bit and bring information about their companies and share with us, you know, thoughts on having public radio at Fisk University. And so they're going to do their shout. I'm looking forward to it because they're excited. Everybody I talk to, they're like, yeah. And who wouldn't be if you were in business? This opportunity is one, you know, that I saw as a good, well, I won't say PR, but I will say it's good to know that you have support in places you didn't think you did. A lot of times people overlook small businesses or new startups and entrepreneurs, and but we don't because we small too. So we love them. And there will be many different types of businesses and industries that you'll hear from on Small Business Shoutouts on that Friday. In addition to our other friends that will be up at the station. And then on Saturday, it's exciting. Always Saturdays are very exciting on the Radiothon. We're going to, again, have our HBCU Challenge. And Dr. Elizabeth Williams is going to head up the TSU team.
Okay.
And when I saw her from Health Watch Thursday, I said, okay, you got your team rallied yet? Well, I'm still working. I said, no, you don't have much time, baby. You got to get the tea. Now, you sold wolf tickets about what tears you can do. Well, she was in my office one day. Oh, I was like, okay. So, you know, get the team tight. And I'm working on my team is just, you know, I think they pretty much set. And I need to check with Harry and find out how their team is going. I think they got 3 on theirs. But they should have 7 by now. And I don't ask how's ABC, 1, 2, 3.
They haven't responded yet?
Well, they just will be absent at the table.
See?
And you then and here you trying to work for Jesus.
Dr. Anita Wing.
They'll just have to be absent at the table. Because, I mean, you know.
Horace Harris, Dr. Harris. I don't know why they, you know.
Well, maybe we should just have the 3 schools. It seems hard for them to get
to
a team.
I don't know what's going on.
This is the second year they've not been able to come up with
them.
And maybe we'll just leave them out. So there won't be any pressure on them.
Alum of American Baptist, what's going on with our school?
Because every preacher that comes in here does a shout-out to them all the time. So it shouldn't be hard to find.
They get a lot of PR from this station.
Well, and you know what?
They do.
That could end.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. I'm just kidding. But I would say that it would be nice if they came to represent themselves.
Yeah.
And if
have
they don't,
fun. Do
I'm cool with
something.
That. I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
Then we'll just make it the 3 schools.
Yeah.
So they won't have any pressure. Yeah, I'll just, we'll do it like that, and then you don't have to worry about them.
Yeah.
So, because then every year you have to do that. You have to go try.
I do. I have to go over there and,
And try to carry
I'll make a phone call tomorrow and find out.
Well, you try to carry the whole team on your back, and you shouldn't have to. Because there's too many pastors in Nashville that
have been touched by that school.
Well, they talk about it on this air all the time.
Yeah.
So I would think that maybe at some point, but we'll see. Anyway, but we have, and then on Saturday is our faith community challenge. We're going to hear from some of our church friends and congregational friends who are going to come and share with us. So you'll be getting during the radiothon. I tried to make it. It is about fundraising. Don't get me wrong. But it also is what is at the center of what our station is about. Our station is federally licensed educational. So this is not the house of party, okay, even though we do have fun. We also are African-American public radio. So your information and public affairs and talk and issues of concern are what we live for. So hearing from segments of the city that give you this information and empowerment is our... That's our blood, and that's what we do. So we're not trying to be other people and let them do them, and we're doing us. And our radiothon gives us an opportunity to expose some of the great people in our audience that support us and let them bring you fresh information or knowledge about services being delivered or whatever the case may be that are going on in this community. Because everybody can't say everything, but we certainly do try to cover some areas that you don't normally see or hear so that folks get an opportunity to get the real 411. Now, and then Sunday, our closers will come in, our ministers and our supporters, our team, our Sunday close team. Those are actually... the props to keep us up. To tell them that when they come. They're the toothpicks in our eyeballs. Because at the end of 48 hours, even the Lord rested after his 6 days. He rested, and we gonna rest. So that's it. Now you join us, and remember to support the station, because if we don't do this, nobody else gonna do it for you. And I'm saying that because... if we got to make a little money so we can keep the lights on. And, just real. That's our function.
Yeah.
Our function is not to send you to the club. Our function is to give you some knowledge. Because knowledge is power. Knowledge and information. So, don't be mad. Support us. Love us, and we'll love you back. As WFSK is celebrating 45 years of service. Glory. Hallelujah. For the people that started the station, and they started it, and they actually submitted, got the paperwork going in 1969. So it took a long time to get it to fruition. And took a year for the FCC to say yes. So, you know, my hat's off to the students who had a vision and wanted to be a part of the media landscape and have their voices heard. That was the purpose of the station, right? To have information to Radio the community. Free. So we're staying with the focus where the Plymouth Rock people put it. And just delighted to be able to do that. I mean, come on, y'all. A lot of stations would shut me up. And you know I know this business. Anyway, let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
The 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance. Advanced tickets are still available to hear renowned researcher, educator, author, and presenter, Dr. Joy DeGruy. She's this year's guest speaker at the 2018 W.E.B. Du Bois Lecture Series on Tuesday, September 25th. Doors open at 6 p.m. The program begins at 7 in the Appleton Room, Jubilee Hall, right here on the Fisk University campus. Dr. Joy is the acclaimed author of Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome, America's Legacy of Enduring Injury and Healing. She has several decades of practical experience as a professional in the fields of social work, cultures, race relations, and contemporary social issues. Advance tickets are only $20, $25 at the door. To hear Dr. Joy DeGruy for advance tickets or for more information, stop by the Alkiva Lawn Images Bookstore at 28th and Jefferson. Call them at 615-321-4111 or call WFSK at 615-329-8754. Visit our website for information and tickets at WFSKFM.org. What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is also being brought to you by Mount Zion Baptist Church. Join the Mount Zion Baptist Church weekly prayer call every Tuesday morning at 7 a.m. Central. Request prayer or listen to the playback of the call at theprayercall.org. For more information, please call the church office at 615-254-7296 or download the free Mount Zion Baptist Church app from your favorite app store. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All righty, Nashville, Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. We have some rain falling in the city. 90% of rain, you know, that's usually sometimes accompanied with a little touch of fog, depending on when it is. But you can pretty much get the umbrella handy for the whole week. 70% chance tonight. That lingers over to Monday by Monday evening. 40% Tuesday, 60% Tuesday night, 80%, 60% on Wednesday. 30% on Wednesday night and Thursday down to 20%. So the work week is going to be soggy. The temps, though, are all good. And let's say I like 76 a lot. And tomorrow, 78. On Tuesday, a little bit warmer with a high of 82. And then on Wednesday, we level out at about 78 degrees. So it's starting to feel like fall-like. And that's okay with a lot of us that don't like 95 degrees in September. Currently, we have a light rain and 70 in the city, and our humidity is way up at 93%. Now, here's a quick church announcement. I mentioned this Sunday before last, but this is coming up this Saturday at Schrader Lane Church of Christ in their West Auditorium. Saturday morning, the 29th, from 10 to 12, they are hosting a Alzheimer's dementia workshop. And the registration for the event, if you get there about 30 minutes before, you can go ahead and register and everything for this event. And for those that are dealing with a family member or friend, Alzheimer's or dementia workshop is for you. If you want complete information on what they plan to do, call Felicia at 615-804-3596. That's Felicia at 615-804-3596. Now, here is what is going on in the world of, well, there's two names almost back to back in my stories today. And if I say one, you know who I'm going to be on the other one. But let me start with, quickly out of Memphis. A Tennessee woman has been sentenced to 24 years in prison for stealing $162,000 from a government program that provides funding for summer meals for poor children. Shelby County prosecutors say Jeanette Jives Neely was found guilty of theft and money laundering in July. A judge sentenced her on Friday. Jives Neely was doing business as Kingdom Dominion Worldwide Ministries when she received $122,000 from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Based on projections, she would serve 33,800 meals per month in June and July of 2014. She received an additional $40,000 after claiming to have served more than 40,500 meals that June. Records showed Jives Neely used the money to, here it comes, to travel and to buy retail items rather than feed hungry children. She was convicted in a school food voucher scheme in Florida back in 2007. Okay, no paper trail here. If you have a background, you can't even get a job. How do you get this kind of money? I mean, what?
I know.
So it was 7 years, two states, 7 years later. And
wow.
I'm just asking the question. All I did was ask the questions. How? When you check, your fingernails are checked for anything nowadays. How did that one slip through the cracks? If she has been convicted in another state of this, why would they turn around and federally not even check their own records?
Well, maybe she had help.
I don't think so. I think they just didn't check. Okay. I don't think there was no help. I just think that they just had so many applications and just moved it through, like a lot of things nobody's really checking. Not like,
oh, you mean like at the White House? Just hire folk.
No vetting.
Because they look the part.
Right. No.
They look good on TV.
Right. Well, I'd bet you for a minimum wage job, but I wouldn't bet you for this. I mean, come on.
You look like a colonel. Yeah. I'm going to hire you.
Yeah. Or you dress like one.
Yeah, you dress. Yeah.
Mm. Anyway, let's see what's going on. Speaking of the administration, well, it's going to be a busy couple of weeks. talks are set. Well, actually, it's been a busy couple of years. I mean, you know, you just like get anxiety. I got to turn the news on because I know that something's going to happen.
True. But that's not what we're
that's
really looking
normal.
For.
No, that's not normal.
We're looking for the breaking news that says we finally got him. This is it. So-and-so just got indicted. So-and-so got indicted. That's the moment.
How many people have already been accused? You're getting your hats and horns ready now.
Yeah, we're waiting for the big shoe to drop. That's what folks are really looking for.
Well, and you know what? The Father in heaven is in control. And I'm going to leave it right there. Talks are set to continue on tentative agreement for a Thursday hearing for Brett Kavanaugh's accuser, Christine Blasey Ford, to tell the Senate Judiciary Committee about her allegations that the Supreme Court nominee sexually assaulted her decades ago. Lawyers for Ford and bipartisan representatives of the committee came to the tentative agreement after a short but productive phone call late yesterday. That from a person briefed on the matter. Kavanaugh will also appear. Some details of the hearing, such as the order of their testimony, remained in negotiation and talks were expected to continue sometime today. The fate of his nomination and the sentence treatment of his accuser, Christine Blasey Ford, who said yesterday she was willing to testify in the coming week, have the makings of a pivot point in American politics, the crest of a wave building since Mr. Trump's election. Women have marched and voted in powerful numbers all over the place. They have run for office with record-breaking success, and women of all political stripes have come forward with new confidence to identify and challenge men who have exploited them. Dr. Blasey, a 51-year-old California professor, was 15 at the time of the alleged assault. Fatima Goss Graves, president of the National Women's Law Center, said the Senate's reaction to Dr. Blasey's account had already exposed an enormous gulf between the country's political institutions and the outlook of many American women. Ms. Graves warned that attacks on Ms. Blasey would leave a deep mark on the country, and I would say there's no question in my mind that it should. If not, then the women in this country are absolutely unconscious. Some of the powerful women I know, I'm like, yeah, it's going to be a lot said, for real.
Yeah.
Ms. Graves.
Yeah.
Said it's not just a message about Dr. Blasey Ford, it's about survivors and about women. And if they ignore that, I do not see how that is something that goes away fast. It will be a stain that they will carry for a long time. Dr. Blasey Ford said that she wants to testify before the Senate, and her appearance would represent a moment of extreme peril for Republicans who control the Judiciary Committee, an all-male panel on the Republican side. Many of them are granddaddies and great-granddaddies. Not that that means anything, but I'm just saying they ought to at least think from that perspective that, you know, you might have some 15-year-old grandkids that if they come to you and say something like this, you're going to just poo-poo it away? I hope not. And most of the members have answered the allegation with suspicion or resentment, underscoring the potential for backlash from women. And rightly so. We would be like, nothing's ever happened to you, has it? A Republican staff member for the committee, Jared Ventry, resigned yesterday after NBC News inquired about allegations of sexual harassment involving him. So this one here is really going to be one to watch, particularly with some of the comments that have been coming out of folks' mouth. And, of course, the tweetaholic himself, who can't stay off of Twitter. And, you know, I say let him stay on, and at least you know, exactly how he feels.
Yeah. Use it during the hearing. You can address all his concerns right in the hearing.
So now you know the rest of the story. Where's Paul Harvey? Because it's just, it just spews out all the time. And I just want to know how many tweets it's going to be to take the House of Cards to collapse. Anyway, now, on the other side of this, and something else coming up this week, sex is in the headlines for sure. Bill Cosby, who was found guilty of 3 counts of aggravated indecent assault in April, will face sentencing tomorrow in a Pennsylvania courthouse. So it's going to be a saucy talk tomorrow for sure with these two situations that we have in our nation as the headlines. The assault occurred after Andrea Constand, a former basketball coach at Temple University, the actor's alma mater. The sentencing could end on the first day, but may possibly last 2 days, with pre-sentencing hearings taking place to determine whether he will be designated a sexually violent predator. That goes from one end. His titles have been America's Dad and, Funniest Dude and Blase. He was up on the top shelf.
Yes, he was.
And that means that elevator went straight to below ground. Wow. The actor, who is 81 years old, has been in his home since the end of the trial, as the judge ordered him to stay there until sentencing. He is out of jail on $1 million bail. 81.
Yeah. Wow. That's literally almost a death sentence.
Well, I'd say.
Yeah.
I mean,
if he goes for anything more than 5 years.
Or 10. Cosby faces up to 10 years in prison for each count.
Yeah.
So, it might be 99 for him and get some stripes and he's out. He's done. The question remains whether the judge will allow him to stay out of jail while the conviction is appealed, which could take years. It is expected that prosecutors will ask that he be immediately placed in jail prior to the April conviction. Cosby has been accused of sexual violence by dozens of women. Many said they were drugged and molested by him. Defense lawyers say the state's latest sex reporting law, despite several revisions, remains unconstitutional. It's a modern-day version of a scarlet letter, the attorney said. Demetra Meta, a lot of A's and T's in there. She is a former Philadelphia public defender. She says she sort of thinks of it as an interesting philosophical issue at this time with the hashtag MeToo movement, but also criminal justice reform. Pennsylvania's Sex Offender Board has examined Cosby and recommended that he be deemed a predator, concluding that he has a mental defect or personality disorder that makes him prone to criminal behavior. Montgomery County Judge Stephen T. O'Neill will have the final say on tomorrow. O'Neill has presided over the case for nearly 3 years, from shortly after Cosby's December 2015 arrest to a 2017 trial that ended in a jury deadlock, to the jury finding this past April that Cosby drugged and molested the woman, Ms. Constad, at his suburban Philadelphia estate in 2004. He faces anything from probation to 30 years in prison on the 3 felony counts of aggravated indecent assault. 3 years to 30. 30 and 3 and 8 is what, 110?
Mm-hmm.
He'd be 111. That does not look good for him. Anyway, so those two high profile sexual assault subjects are going to be in the news this week for sure. So you'll be hearing a lot. It's interesting. There's a lot of sex in the news, y'all.
Yeah.
A lot. A whole bunch. Matter of fact, almost every story that you see when you first start looking is about somebody assaulting somebody or harassing them. So it seems like we got some problems out here. Big time. And, you know, let me ask this question. I was thinking about this, too. Because, you know, I have my deep thoughts when I'm driving. We have the scandal in the Catholic Church. It's been going on for a long time.
Hundreds of years, that's my estimate.
The scandal with the president and his philandering and carrying on and his hoochie mama escapades. Mm-hmm. I mean, for lack of better terms, y'all, that's what it is.
Goes back a long time.
You know, when you're paying hush money and all, that's pretty deep. I mean, who'd have thought? And, I mean, that, and then you got actors and comedians and people in business. I mean, this sex thing has got some weak. People are weak. So the flesh is truth. Preachers, is there a sermon coming on weak flesh? Even the church.
Only if the pastor has been striving to live a life.
Well, he has not been weak on it.
Yeah.
Who is that?
But then there's some who could be hypocritical. But most congregants know if your pastor
stays away from,
we're not talking about if you had a life. We're talking about since you've assumed that
since
leadership.
You got your life.
Yes, since you've assumed that leadership role as a pastor, and you have to stay away from that topic. Because you've been, you know, naughty in the pulpit or out of the pulpit or since you've assumed that role, then it's hard for you to touch that.
Well, no, it's hard for them to touch, but you know what? There are some brazen people out there.
When they're talking about people who've made mistakes and come before the congregation.
No, I mean that will be having things going on and stand up in your face like Jimmy Swaggart and people
that
like that.
That kind of,
Okay, I have sinned. Yeah. I mean, you know, he was.
I remember that. That was one of the first major.
Well, he was crying and everything and Jim Baker and all that stuff. I mean, that was 20 or 30 years ago.
With all that makeup and stuff. And that was, I remember that when I was little.
And those men were messing around. Yeah. And the other big preacher out of Colorado had the big congregation. He was in messing around. I think he was messing with guys. I mean, so it's like it's rampant.
Yeah.
If it's not rampant, I mean, come on. And pastors having babies with. I mean, so it's all
members,
over.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's been
happening because I remember my mother telling me stories about the pastor running off with the secretary. And I mean, this is stuff when she was.
That's cool. I remember.
So it's nothing
it sounds
new.
It sounds like the episode of Greenleaf.
Oh, wow. You watch that?
Oh, I love that show.
That's something else.
Look, I could be at home on a rainy day or snowy day.
Yeah.
Or a sunshiny and 90 degree day. Uh-huh. And they got the marathon.
Yeah.
You will not hear a word. You will not see me on the streets. I love that show.
Yeah.
And I think it's so very well cast.
It is. It really is. I mean, and well written.
Oh, no question.
Well, the church gives us
such scripts. I mean, it's like when I wrote that stuff for Dr. Jones.
Yeah.
I'm like, I didn't even have to have an imagination.
What do I remember?
Right.
The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Definitely to protect the innocent. Because people would ask me, you know, when Dr. Bobby Jones, Ambassador, had his TV show, Let's Talk Church, and for the years I wrote he'd be like, where you get this stuff from? I said, nowhere. I got it from the Lord.
Yeah, God gave me this. He laid it on my heart. It's to help somebody.
He laid it in my head and then on my keyboard.
The funniest one of the show that you did was when, I believe it was Pastor Erica Barr. And there was this guy sitting there, and you were talking about women in the pulpit.
Oh, my God.
And he said women didn't belong.
They didn't repeat that show.
And then his members started saying, yeah. And she said, y'all cut that foolishness out. And they stopped. I mean, they stopped immediately. Don't y'all clap for that foolishness. That was so funny.
That show, I told him, I said, you are so ahead of your time. That show was so classic. I mean, It was just, you know. Yeah, and I know it took a lot for him to pull that off.
Yeah.
You know.
Y'all stop clapping for that foolishness. And they stopped too, like, ooh.
Because she wasn't playing, man. Yeah. You know her, she does not play. Nobody got time for this. The grown folks are in the house.
Yeah.
But, you know, I love and respect Dr. Jones for stepping out always on cutting edge.
Yeah.
So, you know, honor and respect him.
Who just turned 80, by the way, a week ago.
Happy birthday, yeah. Dr. Jones. That was terrible. I want to wish him a happy belated birthday to Dr. Bobby Jones. He's host of The Countdown.
That's right.
Bobby Jones' Gospel Countdown, which comes on right before this show.
That's right.
So happy birthday to him, and may he have many, many, many more. Let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is also being brought to you by Mount Zion Baptist Church. Join the Mount Zion Baptist Church weekly prayer call every Tuesday morning at 7 a.m. Central. Request prayer or listen to the playback of the call at theprayercall.org. For more information, please call the church office at 615-254-7296 or download the free Mount Zion Baptist Church app from your favorite app store.
Hi, this is Alexander Zonjic inviting you to an hour of great music, interviews, and fun. Join me and my special guest, Rick Braun. Lots of cool tracks and conversation. Catch my show, Alexander Zonjic from A to Z, every Monday from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. here at listener-supported Jazzy 88.
Here's a community reminder from listener-supported Jazzy 88.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed, and they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover keytar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
180 over 111, and I had a stroke.
145 over 92, and then I had a heart attack.
150 over 90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
With the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All right, T. Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University, and What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Also brought to you by Mount Zion Baptist Church and Integrity Dental Care. We thank you so very much for supporting What's the 411. And you know, a Sunday style news headlines issues of the day, and at 8 o'clock, we'll be talking with, there's a new book out, and the title is Healing Our Broken Humanity, Practices for Revitalizing the Church and Renewing the World. It is co-written by Grace Jisun Kim and Graham Hill. And both of them are PhDs, and Dr. Kim is a professor of theology at Earlham School of Religion, and Mr. Hill is a former church planter and pastor. He is the founding director of the globalchurchproject.com. Seems like the Global Church Project, we've had them on for something.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Anyway, both of them are authors of other books. And Dr. Grace Kim is a ordained minister in the Presbyterian Church. So that's next hour. Now, this hour, I wanted to, speaking of Dr. Bobby Jones, I got this information from Geo Cooper, one of the alumni here at Fisk, and Jubilee Singer Alumni Association is having their big to-do. The same weekend as we're having the Radiothon, we're going to have a big affair.
Yeah, I saw that.
The alumni, Jubilee Singers alumni, presents a night with the one and only Valerie Simpson, and this will be in the Fisk Memorial Chapel. The doors open at 7, and she will be in concert there, as well as getting a Heritage Award. And they started the Heritage Awards last year. And last year it was Patty Austin. Wasn't it Patty? Wasn't she up here, Patty?
Yes.
And this year it's Valerie Simpson. And the 2018 Heritage Awardees, Ashford and Simpson, multi-platinum recording artists and songwriters. And, of course, Valerie is lovely, and we're looking forward to having her bless the campus when she comes to present with her lovely voice. And the award is also being presented to Skip Scarborough. I wonder if Skip's wife is coming. He's dead.
That's a good question.
You know, Skip Scarborough wrote so many songs from the 70s and 80s,
mm-hmm.
and I had his wife on, or his widow on, Artist of the Week,
yeah.
About maybe 10 or so years ago, because what she did was, she, well, actually, they owned their catalog, so, mm-hmm. you know, she's doing quite well, and Skip, he had written so many of the songs that we all grew up with. And as a songwriter, you know, he was smart enough in those days to
yeah.
have his own catalog. Because when I talked to her about that, I learned a lot. And, you know, that gave her the rights to the music so she could do releases and do different things.
Yeah.
And the money would go stay in the Scarborough household. Amen. So I hope that they're going to have her here, because it doesn't say to present this to, because I think that his widow would be honored to receive that from the historic campus and the Jubilee Singers alumni, who are holding this event as a fundraiser. The event is hosted by none other than Dr. Bobby Jones. So the now you know he's going to be clean.
Yeah, he is.
The ambassador shall be clean. He's not coming here in just a regular suit. So I know Derek is going to pick out something fabulous and have the doctor looking good when he hosts the event with the great Valerie Simpson. And this photo of her, she's absolutely lovely here. And I do know that there's filters and makeup and stuff, but she looks beautiful on this picture. And we hope you come to this benefit. The alumni singers, the building over here on 17th, the house.
That's right.
That is the Singer House and the Jubilee Singers House. And the Alumni Association has been working diligently to raise money for some time now to refurbish that house so that they can officially move the men there, the singers in there. And I think what they're doing is a beautiful thing. So this is one of the events that they do. The tickets are $50, $75, and $100. They also have the VIP Blue and the VIP Gold at a higher level. But it's a fundraiser, so you can write it off. And the Jubilee Singers will have that beautiful home. Will be done, knowing that some of the singers put their hand to it, the alums, to making it look beautiful on the inside. So, you know, we want to support them in all that they do. If you want to get information on it and tickets, I think that you can go to the university website or go to Jubilee Singers, have a page, and they have probably tickets information on there as well. Anyway, now let's see. Back to some headlines. Out of Washington, D.C. Do you fly a lot? Have you ever?
I used to. Haven't flown in a while.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess I haven't even since my mom's funeral. But anyway, Congress is preparing to require the Federal Aviation Administration to set new minimum requirements for seats on airplanes. They're not going to give us no more room. We need room. The aim is to give passengers a break from ever-shrinking leg room and cramped quarters. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. And I have short legs, and it's like, Lord, I don't see how tall people can take this. The regulation of seat leg room and width is part of a 5-year extension of federal aviation programs agreed to by Republican and Democratic leaders of the House and Senate committees that oversee the nation's air travel. The House takes up the legislation this week, so let's hope that we get some more space going in width and length. Please, to give folks some time, you know, so they won't be all evil and crowded and everything, so they can at least move their hips from side to side. Congress faces a September 30th deadline to keep FAA programs running. The bill would also prohibit the involuntary bumping of passengers who have already boarded a plane. But in a nod to the power of the commercial airliners, lawmakers declined to include language that would stop airlines from imposing fees deemed as not reasonable and proportional. You know, when I was doing getting that story in there, I was like, you know that TV show? And I know you've seen all the Tyler Perry stuff about 27 times.
Not all of it.
Well, all you have to do is just watch, what is it, TV1 or BET?
Yeah, BET.
I mean, Sarah, I was like, enough, y'all. Put the Tyler stuff on the shelf. I know he's paying for this, but come on. Every week, the same stuff. You know the one where I think Jill Scott is the
Jill
wife?
Jill Scott.
I think that's who that is.
Oh, Why Did I Get Married?
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay. And she's getting on the plane. She's on the plane.
Yeah.
And they said that.
Oh, that's right. And she couldn't, the seats and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I thought about when I was like, that's a terrible position to be in. And then, of course, you know, you immediately hated the husband because he was like, bye. I'm like, yeah. What, you're divorced? You know, you're going to be by tonight. oh, man. I mean, so, you know, that hopefully that's not happened to anyone. But you absolutely never know in today's world. Let me end on a good note here. This is out of New Albany, Indiana. Never heard of it.
I haven't either.
A cupola that once protected a southern Indiana church dating back to the 1850s from the elements is now a part of a garden honoring the church's role in the Underground Railroad. Workers used a crane on Wednesday to move the cupola to its new place atop a gazebo in the Second Baptist Church's Underground Railroad Gardens. Oh, that's cool. So if you go to New Albany, Indiana, you can go to the Underground Railroad Gardens that the Second Baptist Church has there, and you'll see this historic cupola that was part of the, probably used to as a beacon of hope to people that were fleeing slavery. I mean, that's probably what that represented. The New Albany Church, that's also known as the Town Clock Church, was a pre-Civil War stop along the network that helped slaves escape from the South. The cupola was installed atop the church in the Ohio River City in the early 20th century after lightning destroyed the building's original 150-foot steeple. The News and Tribune reports that the century-old cupola was removed 2 years ago after a replica steeple was installed atop the church. You know, that was one of the things, you know, I told you my church when I was growing up, Bethel AME Church in Leavenworth, Kansas, was an Underground Railroad church, and it's set up on a hill, and you could, right on the edge near the Missouri River. So when the slaves, because my home state was a free state, and Missouri was a slave state. So it was that, you know, only the river between the two states divides them. And the church had a real tall, just like this, my home church did. And it could be seen for miles from across the river. Wow. So the legend goes, you know, according to the records of the church as well that they had, that the slaves would see that the church on tall church, Underground Railroad Black AME Church from on high, and let them know how close they were to freedom, so that they were able to get from the slave state of Missouri across the Missouri River and touch their feet on soil in Kansas, because that was a free state. So my home church, that's Bethel AME Church in my hometown, Leavenworth, Kansas, is a Underground Railroad church as well. So I send out love this morning to the New Albany, Indiana Second Baptist Church and their role in the underground movement. And hopefully, if you're traveling to Indiana, you'll stop by that city. And I want to send some love out there today to my hometown. Hey, what's up, y'all? since my mama went to heaven, I don't know if they're still listening or not. Hopefully they will. But anyway, we thank you for tuning in today. We're going to take a time out and come back with our book for next hour, Healing Our Broken Humanity. Let's take the quick time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Carey.